I'm Davy, and I would like to acknowledge my collaborator, Dr. Kelly Morgan. This work was done at the Southwest Florida Research and Education Center, but we had another site also that we did the same work at Citrus Research and Education Center, where I'm based, but it's at the Southwest Florida Research and Education Center that we're able to do destructive analysis of samples and all that, so that's what I'll be presenting about. So I'll be talking about neutron distribution and uptake in citrus, and maybe most of you might be aware that citrus leads in production. Florida leads in the citrus production in the U.S., but right now we have a challenge of citrus grading, and though we are ranked number one, but we know California is catching up with us, so we are trying to do whatever we can to improve production. So the production right now is about $1 billion a year. The figures keep going down. We hope we can get those back up. And the acreage for citrus is about 437,000 acres in the state. And one of the avenues of trying to improve production right now is through nutrient management, whereby we optimize the placement and also the application of nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and all other macro and micronutrients to improve tree production. And this is because in Florida we have extremely sandy soils. So maybe in the Midwest or in California, you know, we have better soils for citrus production where we have maybe some clay or loamy soils. In Florida we have sandy soils that are about 97% sand or greater. So whenever we apply water or nutrients, by irrigation, whatever way that you try to do to optimize the system, you end up having a lot of leaching concerns. So we realize that we need very judicious irrigation and nutrient management to make sure we can optimize the retention of water and also the nutrients. The technology that we're trying to use, and we keep on refining that, but the time we did the study, we're doing what we call an advanced citrus production system, which is essentially a system that's a little bit more in terms of density of planting compared to what growers use. Growers normally plant trees at about 150 trees to the acre. But at that time, we're trying to plant trees at about 200 trees to the acre. Now, there have been innovations where we are now trying to plant trees at about 400, 600 trees to the acre. But at that time, 200 looked pretty good. So we are also trying to see if at all we can improve production, because this practice was actually developed somehow in Australia and kind of adapted in Spain. And it showed that there were merits in terms of yield, growth, and also optimizing fruit quality. So when we did this study, we used a modified version of the hydroponic system. So a colleague talking about the hydroponics in latest. In that one, we tried to train the trees to grow in the sandy soils, but while just accessing the nutrients from the irrigation system, other than from the soil medium, which is kind of contrasting to what we normally expect, that the soil be the storage for the nutrients. So there were two key objectives that we tried to look at. First, we wanted to look at the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium accumulation in below above ground tissues, so that we could know how the tree apportions those nutrients in there, and then also look at biomass accumulation. So as I said earlier, we did the study in Southwest Florida at a site called Immokalee, and then we looked at a variety that is commercially available called Hamley, and we compared three different irrigation systems. We used a drip open hydroponic system, which was actually dairy irrigation and also dairy fertilizer application in small parcels. The other practice was a micro-sprinkler open hydroponic system, which was kind of a modification of grower practice, which was also irrigated daily, but we're fertilizing weekly. And then we had a conventional micro-sprinkler practice that growers use. So in that one, we're actually irrigating every 2 to 3 days, and then applying fertilizer monthly. So the data that we collected was just on tissue N, P, and K, and then also looking at above ground and below ground biomass accumulation. So these are just some of the photos of the hard work that we did to try to trim the tree to size. I had fun doing that, and some colleagues that worked together. It was so you know, so difficult sometimes to get the trees up there, and we had to get excavators to kind of help us. Because for 5-year-old trees, it's a lot of work. In the greenhouse, it's a lot easier, but out there, it's difficult to get the trees taken out of the soil. What we found from literature, we found that from the studies that we've done in Brazil, in Spain, in Israel, and also in California, it showed that most of the biomass dominates the branches and twigs. So that's where you find most of the biomass. Then that's followed by the roots. And then from the literature, we found that the leaves and the fruit had more or less an equivalent amount. In our study, what we found was that when we looked at the conventional, I don't know if I can pull out the mouse, I don't know, seems not to work for me. If you see on your left, when you look at the conventional macro sprinkler practice, we had a high accumulation of the biomass in the branches, more or less like following the pattern what we had in the literature. But now, when you use the other open hydroponic system like drip and macro sprinkler, they had similar patterns, but we found that, for example, drip had higher accumulation in the leaves, so better growth, dense canopy, and followed by the macro sprinkler open hydroponic system. Whereas with the conventional macro sprinkler practice, we had less canopy but very high biomass accumulation in the branches. And then when we tried to look at nitrogen accumulation, that's the only one who could find some very solid literature about this work that was done, looking at the work done in California and then done by in Israel and also in Spain. What we found was that the nitrogen was mostly concentrated in leaves. So normally when you look at nutrition of citrus, what dominates is do the tissue analysis, and it's mostly leaves. So essentially we found about 36% of nitrogen that accumulates in the leaves from the literature, and then that's followed by branches, and then roots, and then finally the fruit, though the fruit and the roots were comparable. In our study, what we found was that the nitrogen followed a similar pattern, but one thing that was very interesting was that when we looked at the overall accumulation, as you can see the highest graph on the extreme right, the open hydroponic systems increased uptake of nitrogen by about 45%. So, microsprinkler open hydroponic system and drip open hydroponic system had similar accumulation of nitrogen compared to the conventional microsprinkler practice, which is quite interesting, because the fear we had was that by doing daily fertigation with drip or by doing weekly fertigation with the microsprinkler open hydroponic system and having sandy soils, we end up having a lot of leaching. So we had all these suction lacimeters installed around to make sure we stay within the optimal levels of nitrate concentrations in the root zone. So this was a good result for us. When we tried to look at phosphorus accumulation, interestingly, we didn't see any difference between the treatments. And most interestingly, we noticed that the conventional microsprinkler practice resulted in better accumulation of phosphorus, though the results were not significant. Something with potassium, we also found that there weren't any significant differences, but we found that the conventional practice also resulted in better accumulation of potassium compared to the other treatments. So in conclusion, what we found was that it would be important that when we use very intensive irrigation practices to try to use advanced citrus production systems. We keep on refining that. That's why I put this as a take-home message. But we were able to publish this work, so it's still something that we have been able to learn some lessons. But we could improve the current high-density efficiencies by, you know, using micro-sprinkler or drip irrigation, using more refined methods to make sure that we improve biomass accumulation. And another take-home message that we found was that nitrogen accumulation was much greater with open hydroponic systems. So for Florida sandy soils, and I guess for other sandy soils where we grow citrus, we could limit nitrogen leaching by using open hydroponic systems or intensive irrigation practices, as long as they're well-timed and well-practiced. And we didn't see any differences between P and K. At this point, I'll be happy to take any questions. Thank you. Yeah. So the question is, how do you encourage?
Please repeat the question.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. The question is, how do you, recommend growers to track or to monitor nitrate in their irrigation or in their irrigation practice? That's a good question. Essentially, I would recommend two ways, possibly using the suction lysimeters. For example, there's one grower in southeast and the other one in southwest Florida where they're using suction lysimeters, and then they get a sample weekly or whenever it rains. Because when it's not raining, sometimes it's not a big fear. But when it rains, they end up having those spikes of nitrates going below the root zone. So I'd encourage growers. I mean, it's not so pricey. It's about $30 a suction lysimeter. They would just install it, get a sample periodically, and then, other than getting the sample to the lab, to a commercial lab somewhere, and start paying for that, there are simple two kits that they could use. They're colored that you can have a simple index of, say, 0 to 50 milligrams per liter, or 50 to 100, 100 to 150, and that kind of metric scale, and then they could just use those to check how much nitrate they have. Yeah. So thank you.
So Davey, in your study, did you measure the nitrates in the soil? Because I know your objective in this presentation was for the biomass and the leaf, et cetera.
Yes.
Did you actually measure some soil?
Exactly.
And how did that compare with the, if you have that information, how did that compare with the different irrigation systems?
Please repeat the question. The question is, did you do any soil test? How did you do an analysis of the nutrients in the soil? And how did that compare with the tissue analysis? Yeah, so, unfortunately, I felt like when I tried to time myself on how to talk here, and then I limited the number of slides I could have. But we did a soil test for ammonium, for nitrate, for phosphorus, and potassium. We didn't do the other tests because we were just focusing on potassium and nitrate. We found consistent results with what we found in the biomass. The only difference was that with the conventional macro-sprinkler practice, we found that since it was wearing the whole root zone, we found higher concentrations of ammonium, nitrate, phosphorus, and potassium within about 4 inch radius from the tree with conventional macro-sprinkler practice. But now with the macro-sprinkler open hydroponic system, we found that within the wetted zone, we had nearly double the concentrations we found with the conventional micro-sprinkler practice. Outside that irrigated zone, we found about a quarter of what was in the irrigated zone. Now with drip, what we found within the area just below the drip emitter, we found about similar to what we found in the wetted zone for the micro-sprinkler open hydroponic system, but just about 15 to 20 centimeters from that wetted area of the drip emitter, we find like an eighth of what we found in the irrigated zone. So it's kind of intriguing that we could just keep the wetted area, keep the nutrients, and also the root pairing followed the same wetted zone. So it was very interesting for us that we would encourage growers to see if they could test the open hydroponic systems to optimize both root distribution and the nutrient distribution. Thank you. If no more questions, thank you so much.
Thank you.